In counting the number of times that Jesus talked in the Gospels about different topics, I was surprised to realize that one of the topics most important to me comes in at number 10 on our countdown. It's about eternal life and Jesus' assertion that believers will be rewarded with eternal life. Hello, everybody. I'm Cecil Taylor with Cecil Taylor Ministries and CecilTaylorMinistries.com. Welcome to Season 3 of my podcast. This is the Top 11 Themes of Jesus podcast series, and we're on number 10, as I just said. Please check out my other podcasts, even from the prior seasons, on Apple, Spotify, or Podbean, whichever your choice, and please add to the comments. I encourage comments. Love to hear back from you about these podcasts. Now, as a quick introduction for those of you hearing this podcast season for the first time, I analyzed the Gospels and counted the number of times Jesus talked about different topics. I grouped the topics into a number of themes. 11 of them stood out above others as being the most discussed. In this podcast series, I'm sharing with you the top 11 themes of Jesus, counting down toward number one next March. Now, to be sure, if you or anyone else, a scholar, counted the number of times Jesus talks about different themes, you would come up with a slightly different number. As is the case again today, there are subtopics that I have grouped underneath those themes. In each podcast, I'll discuss the overarching theme as well as subtopics under that theme. Today's topic is number 10 in the countdown, and it's Jesus' affirmation that believers will be rewarded with eternal life. However, we need to wrestle a bit with what eternal life means. Helping us out is today's guest, author and chaplain Victoria Chapin. Victoria's latest book is Undaunted, A Prayer Journal. She is also planning the release of a new book later this year, This Happened, subtitled, So the Signs, Wonders, and Miracles of God Can Be Seen. I've gotten to hear Victoria speak before an audience before, and she's a dynamic speaker, and she also has some interesting things to say about eternal life. Victoria will join me in the second half of this podcast. First, let's learn what Jesus said about eternal life for believers, as well as a couple of other subtopics for this theme. In all, on 23 unique occasions, Jesus talked about this theme. Remember, we're not double counting if the same story appears in, say, Matthew and Luke. We only count those once. Many of Jesus' strongest statements appear in the Gospel of John, the source of which was the Apostle John. The classic statement comes in Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus in John 3:16, which is, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, to understand this better, we actually need to read verses before and after John 3:16. So I'll start with verse 14 and read through verse 18. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So in reading these extra verses, we can understand Jesus' purpose is to save the world, and he actually refers to an Old Testament story about when the snake was lifted up in the desert and whoever looked upon the snake was saved among the Israelite people. And so in the same way, when you look at Jesus on the cross, you are saved as you look upon him and believe in him. And of course, that means the precondition is a person must have faith in Jesus to receive eternal life, while non-believers face condemnation. Now, we will see some complexity in this thought as we read other Gospels, but let's stick for now with John for more insight. In the next chapter, chapter 4, Jesus encounters the Samaritan woman at the well. He tells her that he offers living water and clarifies that idea in verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is a lovely analogy of the life that Jesus offers. quenching our thirst, to where we never go thirsty again. And what's interesting is that Jesus basically says, this living water is available right now. He speaks of giving the water that the person drinks in the present tense. This immediate nature is recited again in the next chapter in a very significant verse, John 5:24. In talking to Jewish leaders, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. So notice again the present tense. Whoever hears and believes has eternal life. And by doing so, they have crossed over, past tense, from death to life. This is a bit mind-boggling because we are hearing that eternal life is immediately available when we believe in Jesus. It is not a future promise, but an immediate reward, an immediate state of existence. And that begs the question, what is Jesus talking about when he discusses eternal life? So for that, we keep turning the pages of John to chapter 17, verse 3, during the Last Supper, when Jesus reveals the answer to his disciples. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is a state of knowing God through Jesus Christ. It's a state of existence that we can achieve here on earth when we accept Jesus as our Savior. If this sounds familiar, well, you must have read my book or seen my video, Live Like You're Loved, and the section in which I discuss this topic, Live Like You're Eternal. Live Like You're Loved describes the joyful, resilient, loving faith walk we can enjoy when we are transformed by God's love, forgiveness, sending purpose, and eternal living water. Live Like You're Loved was blessed to receive the Oasis Award in April as the top Christian nonfiction book, but just as much of a blessing was speaking recently with a reader who said, I just got the book and I can't put it down. You can find Live Like You're Loved on Amazon and other online booksellers. You can also purchase the book, the video study, and the participants guide at my online store by going to store.cecilTaylorMinistries.com. Let me move on to a couple of subtopics of the main theme of eternal life. In several quotations, Jesus gives the message that eternal life requires sacrifice of some kind. In other words, that you have to lose something of your physical life in order to gain eternal life. You see this more in the Synoptic Gospels, especially in Matthew. Jesus must have shocked his disciples the first time he used the symbolism of the cross to explain this concept. Let's read Matthew 10, 37 through 39. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. The cross was an instrument of death and symbolizes the necessity of total commitment, even unto death, on the part of those who would follow Jesus. The same thought is echoed in Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Again, Jesus is talking about serious stuff. To truly follow him and to have an eternal soul relationship with him will require sacrifice, perhaps all the way to physical death, but it also encompasses giving up riches, possessions, even everything that the world offers you. Jesus used a softer way to describe this sacrifice of worldly things in back-to-back parables in Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The great truth is that the kingdom of heaven and eternal life are of such precious value that one should be willing to give up all that they have if that's what it takes to attain that one thing that will give lasting joy. That's the subtopic of sacrifice. Jesus also used the subtopic of reward. Also in Matthew 13, Jesus tells the parable of the weeds that were sown in a farmer's wheat field by his enemy. As they sprouted, it was impossible to tell which were weeds and which were wheat. So the farmer gives orders to wait until later when the difference is clear, then remove the weeds. When explaining this parable later at the disciples' request, Jesus says in verses 40 through 43, "As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." You hear the subtext of judgment in that statement. We'll discuss judgment when we count down next month to the number 9 theme. In terms of rewards, Jesus doesn't speak much of the details of heaven, at least not nearly enough to satisfy all my curiosity. One reward he does mention is at the start of John 14 in a discussion at the Last Supper. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you?" So we learn that there is a prepared place in heaven awaiting our arrival, which is a comforting reward of eternal life. Now that we've covered the highlights of the relevant scripture on Jesus' promises of eternal life to believers, I want to pivot to discussion with our guest of the month. Now let's bring in Victoria Chapin, who is the author of Undaunted, A Prayer Journal. And she has a book coming up later this year called This Happened, subtitled So the Signs, Wonders, and Miracles of God Can Be Seen. And she also has a new ministry I want to ask her about later. But right now, Victoria, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So we're talking about eternal life and that believers are rewarded with eternal life. And I wanted to get your understanding of eternal life based on scripture.
Well, I want to start by saying I was not raised going to church or in a Christ-centered home. So my view before on eternal life was one day when I die, I'm going to go to heaven.
Right.
But when I became a Christian and as I journeyed with the Lord and started digging into his word, I started to understand more that eternal life is actually something we receive when we experience salvation, when we trust and serve God. And recently I was digging into it and I learned that the original Greek word used for eternal life, and I'll try not to butcher this pronunciation because I'm not Greek at all, but is aionios. And it actually does not necessarily speak of future tense. The definition actually says something like partaking in the character that lasts for an age, or in other words, within a certain length of time, but it doesn't necessarily say the future. And so I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
And so then, but looking into, as I said, digging into the word, looking into John 3:16, you know, it's one of the most well-quoted, well-known verses in the whole Bible. And as listeners will know, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life." And there's other scriptures too, John 4:14, "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." John 5:24, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." And then the easy one, John 6:47, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life." And so they go on and on. Oh, and then there's John in John 17, I believe it's 3. "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So if you look at all of those scriptures, They all seem to be present tense.
Right. Yeah, you and I are reading the Bible the same way there, Victoria.
It doesn't seem to say future. So I thought that was, you know, as I've studied the word, I found that very interesting. And so, of course, it, you know, spurs me on to dig into eternal life more. And one of the things that I love that I've noticed is that it doesn't just talk about a length of time as in everlasting, but it also talks about the type of life, like the quality of life.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking, okay, well, then does that mean here on earth?
Right. And what do you see when you say the quality of life? What things are you seeing there? Is it when you say quality of life?
How we live our lives. How we live our lives.
So it's kind of a response to having this eternal life offer to us, and then we start to live differently is also scripture tells us how to live, of course.
Well, right, when we have salvation, so I'm thinking of 1 John 5:11, and it says, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. So when we accept Jesus, so when we have the Son, we have life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. And then he continues on, that you may know, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So it's the minute we enter into the relationship with Jesus that we begin to experience that communion with him, that fellowship or that koinonia with God that we were designed for. It was our intended design that we were to share and be with God, to abide with him. And then I also think of 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it, where Paul is talking about becoming a new creation. And he says, when we accept Christ, we're born again. So what does that actually mean when we're born again?
Right,
you know,
right.
The old has passed away. We're made new. The Holy Spirit enters into us, when we accept Christ. And so we're made new in Christ. And that's when I believe eternal life begins. And so that's when our quality of life changes. When we choose to believe Jesus, when we choose to follow him and enter into that relationship with God through the blood sacrifice of Jesus, that's the shared experience of eternal life. And that's what that's been promised to us. And that's when I believe that it begins and our lives change to be more like his.
I'm talking with Victoria Chapin, who is an author and a chaplain, by the way. I didn't mention that before. And I heard you talk about this theme in a speech one time, Victoria, and I kind of felt like sitting in the audience that people were a little jolted when they heard this. And I've experienced that too whenever I've taught it out of my book, Live Like You're Loved. And our listeners today may be jolted too. So how can you explain eternal life so that people can accept this definition?
Well, as I've already said, eternal life begins the very moment that we come to faith and we're saved. And so I believe that's here on earth. It's the beginning of our forever everlasting life. It's we have this amazing everlasting future in heaven to be with Jesus in heaven. That's what we get to look forward to, but it actually begins here. Because think about living in the flesh or living in the spirit. You think about the more you abide in Christ, the more you seek to live out God's will, the more you naturally become like him. So right. Our quality of life changes. So then we are able to experience things as Christ experienced things. We talk about the mind of Christ. We talk about, you know, being Christ-like, loving our neighbors as ourselves. So, I mean, we just naturally, the more we seek God's will, we naturally become more like him.
I had a pastor who would talk about the thin veil between heaven and earth. And I think that's part of it, right? That mm-hmm. the veil is still there, but part of it is we're able to see it and experience it and kind of look through it and begin to live that here on earth. Well, one of the challenges, though, I see in the Bible is reconciling these passages where Jesus declares this impending judgment, right? A lot of times people read the Bible and they see judgment, and there's passages like that, but then you have the other ones like you quoted where Jesus is showing us that eternal life starts now. So what guidance do you have on reconciling these two seemingly disparate notions?
Well, I'll just say that it is something that I still haven't figured out.
Fair enough.
But that's okay. But, you know, I look at scripture like you were talking about in Matthew, where it at the end he said, you know, well, Matthew, Jesus is instructing us how to live, or he's instructing them how to live, and then us in this day how to live. Sure. And he says, truly, I tell you, as you did not do it, so acting these out and carrying these things out, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it unto me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So you look at that. And then I also think of John 3:20, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. And John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. So the Bible does make it very clear that, you know, there is going to be a day of judgment. But I look at it as if these scriptures seem to point to someone who maybe has not accepted Christ on earth yet.
I see. Mm-hmm.
You know, and also I think about when Jesus was, it was in response to charges of the Sabbath breaking in Jerusalem, and Jesus right. urged the listeners to heed his message and trust God. And then to do so is to have eternal life. He loves them so much. God loves us so much that he wants to give us every last chance. He wants us to escape from condemnation on judgment day. And so he's going to tell us the hard truth, you know? Yes, if we accept him, we do have eternal life in the here and now, in that quality of life. But if we're not accepting him, or if we're not doing the things he instructs, you know, then there will come a day of judgment.
You know, I imagine some of this that you're saying actually ties into my next question, was about how people can experience eternal life in the here and now. And it sounds like part of it is just this quality of life that you're talking about. But how would you answer that? How do you experience eternal life in the here and now?
Well, I believe that, well, I think about, you know, there's a couple scriptures that come to mind. First John 5, I believe it's 11 and 12. It says, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Mm-hmm. And I think about the quality of life, as I said earlier in when we were just talking about the quality of life and life in Christ. I think about when we have to experience, so if you think about this life you get to have in Christ, and it's full of joy and love and peace, but yet there's also the suffering. There's also the times when life is hard. And if we're embracing and we're living as Christ, Christ suffered.
Right.
He suffered and died. And so when we, as believers, we're very accepting of knowing that as brothers and sisters of Christ, we get to inherit the kingdom, and we get to inherit all the good, so we can live here on earth with the peace, the joy, and all of the fruits of the Spirit. But what does that look like when hard things happen and we suffer? And I think that we have to be able to be willing to accept the suffering as part of the eternal life.
That's a good point, because Jesus doesn't promise us this easy path, right? He says, you're going to suffer. a lot of things in this world. And some of that will be for my sake, but you're going to suffer. I mean, he lays that out too. You're right.
Right, right. He says in this world, there will be trouble. He never promises there won't be trouble. He does promise he will never leave us nor forsake us, but he doesn't promise there won't be trouble. And he says, in fact, there will be trouble. And Paul talks about it too. And I think of it, one of my favorite verses is John 10:10. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come, and this is Jesus, that you would have life in abundance. And, you know, I think about that and what does that actually look like? What does abundance look like? And, you know, some people look at it like earthly abundance, but to me, I have a different view on it because of the suffering I've gone through. I look at life in abundance more like embracing the suffering, embracing the adversity that you have to go through in life, knowing that you're walking just like Christ did here on earth, embracing and having to endure that suffering. And I feel like during that suffering, what it does is adversity has been one of my best teachers. The suffering has stretched my soul so big that I feel like I can now more abundantly fill my soul with all the good, all the peace. It's like that much more suffering I've gone to is that much more of all that Christ has to offer in the abundance, in the good to fill it up. And so, so for me, living eternally with that eternal perspective, it means, so I have this little joke that I put on my eternal perspectacles when I'm in situations, you know, when I'm in situations, how am I going to look at this? Will I look at it in the flesh, in the earthly, in the reality of this broken world, or will I look at it through the eternal perspectives, looking at it as if I'm living the eternal life now, like Christ did when he lived here? And will I embrace and go head into that suffering and that darkness? Because really, what's at the end of darkness? Light, right? Like you right. wake up and there's light. So, you know, will I do it that way? And so I think the bottom line is that we're supposed to live with heavenly results. We're supposed to have a perspective that has eternal results, you know, and that veil you were talking about does become thinner, because the more we take on that perspective and live in that perspective, in that eternal life, the closer, it's like you can almost taste heaven sometimes.
You know, there's a lot of gold in there. There's a couple of things I'm going to take away. I love the eternal perspectives, and then the idea of your soul stretching. You know, I think that's great. So I'm talking with Victoria Chapin here about the number 10 theme of Jesus, which is believers will be rewarded with eternal life. And you talked about suffering, and this is not a clinical or academic kind of thing. You literally have experienced some unique and tragic suffering in your life by losing your daughter, Sydney.
Yeah.
How did that inform your view of eternal life?
Well, I'll tell you, when you lose somebody that you love so much, and with Sydney, she had medical challenges all her life. And so I was not only her mom, but I was also her caregiver. And sure. we spent many years in and out of hospitals. So And we used that experience as a ministry. So when I lost her, it was like I lost a sense of who I was. I lost a sense of my purpose, because for almost 15 years, that's what we did. That was our ministry. And that's how we would shine the light of Jesus, even though we were going through this hard time. And I learned so much from her. I'm telling you, there's no junior Holy Spirit. I believe he spoke through her so many times to me. And she inspired me at times when I was, you know, just really struggling. I look back on it now and I just think, wow, the wisdom she had. But losing her, what that did was it made me have more of a longing for heaven. Wanting to be with her again, being happy for her that she was there. I mean, yes, I miss her and I long to see her again, but with everything she lived and how she had to live her life here, I don't ever wish her back to this earth. because I know she wouldn't want to be back here after being with Jesus face to face and her dad, who we lost before that, she would not want to come back.
Yeah.
And if I am, so a mother's heart, think of that. You always want the best for your children. Right. So if I were to want her to come back here, that would just be for me. That wouldn't be for her. Yeah. If I want what's best for her, that's where she is right now. And knowing she's there and already experiencing that, the connection I had with her, the connection I have with Jesus, it just makes that veil so much thinner.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, I know that you have a ministry that is actually going to probably emerge from that, because you talked about that being your ministry, but you and your husband, Jim, who's also a chaplain, have launched a new ministry. And I know you also have this new book coming out. Tell us a little bit about what's coming up for you and also how our listeners can follow you.
Yeah. So the ministry is called Do Life to the Full Ministries. And it is from the second part of John 10:10. And that ministry exists to inspire others to embrace adversity in order to do life to the full, because I don't believe that you can do life to the full potential, to the abundance that God has intended us to live, until we actually experience that suffering just like Christ did. And so what our ministry does, we have a lot going on with discipleship. We started a discipleship class. We're just launching. So we're not even official yet. We're just getting this going. But we are excited about setting up prayer tents and doing drive-through prayer sessions and whatever the Lord leads us to do, really. But what we want, we really wanted chaplain services too, but what we really want to do is to teach people how to live and sustain their eternal life here and live it abundantly. And whatever that looks like, wherever God sends us with that. I think, you know, sometimes people say, well, how do you actually do that? And I think about the Beatitudes, and that's a whole other topic that you can talk on, but I would just, really recommend listeners, you know, look at the Beatitudes as this is a good way or a guide, I guess you would say, to be able to live life eternally.
Now, am I correct that this is a traveling ministry? So you're going to be moving around, and how's that working?
That's what we're hoping. Right now, okay. It's out of our home. We have a prayer porch on our front porch. And so we spend a lot of time out there praying, and we're actually going to start inviting people to our prayer porch. I'm planning on putting a sign. The Lord's like, you need to get people to come to your prayer porch. So we'll see how that goes, but that's what we're hoping. But eventually we plan to go on the road when God says it's the time. So my husband still is a full-time RN nurse supervisor at a local hospital. And so he does that for full time. But at one point we know we'll be traveling and we'll be setting up prayer tents on corners and just kind of wherever God says go, that's where we'll go.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, for now, we'll be local here in Zeeland, Michigan. We, our website, we have dolifetothefull.com. We are also on Instagram. Those Crazy Chaplains is one
those
of the,
Crazy Chaplains. Okay.
That's because we like to have fun and live our life, you know, full. So it's kind of fun. And we also have a Facebook page, Do Life to the Full Ministries.
That's great. And and do you have an idea yet when your next book is coming out? Happened book.
Yeah,
I know, so, with publishers, you never can tell exactly when, but.
Yes, I know. It's hard to tell, but I will say that my goal and my heart would love to have the book out by the time we hit my Sydney's, because this book is about her story. It's inspired by her story. Her 15th eternal birthday, which is this coming October 15th. So there's significance in that number spiritually and around her life and in a lot of other ways. And so I just thought, wow, that would be really neat if it all lines up and we could have that book launched by October 15th of this year.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm going to ask my listeners to pray for you for that and for your ministry. And thanks so much, Victoria, for being with us today on this podcast.
Thank you.
Before I close, I'd like to share an opportunity with you, but depending on when you hear this podcast, you may have to move quickly. I'm leading my first online book study starting in the month of June. It's a study of my first book, The Next Thing, A Christian Model for Dealing with Crisis in Personal Life. Now, you'll want to move quickly because A, it's limited to 20 participants, and B, if you don't have the book, you'll need to pick it up. So to register, you need to go to my online store at store.ceciltaylorministries.com. Again, store.ceciltaylorministries.com. And you may need to buy the book there as well if you're not using an online seller like Amazon. Now, once in my store, select The Next Thing from the left panel and scroll down to the online book study registration. The cost is $20, covering 5 sessions. I want to emphasize that you do not have to read the book in advance, but you may want to read a section at a time to keep up with the book study. The first session is on Wednesday, June 21st, and will continue each Wednesday, skipping the July 4th holiday week. If you're listening to this later, be aware that I'll conduct an online book study of Live Like You're Loved in the fall. So please check store.ceciltaylorministries.com under Live Like You're Loved for that registration, and that will open sometime in late August or September. It was such a pleasure to have Victoria join me on this episode on eternal life. And next month, theme number 9 is fairly tied to this one. Jesus told people that God will judge humans. How does judgment fit with what we learned today on eternal life? We talked about it a little bit, but there's more to explore. As you can tell from today's discussion, it is a complex topic, and I have a wonderful author joining me for that podcast. Her name is Jennifer Chamberlain, and she wrote the book Christianity Unraveled, Unpacking the Essentials of Salvation. She's a terrific speaker and will bring tremendous insight to this discussion. So please look for that podcast to drop in early July. Until then, please follow along with my ministry at ceciltaylorministries.com or my Cecil Taylor Ministries Facebook page. May God bless your summer.